Welcome to the Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week we're joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. How's it going?
Really good, thanks. Getting into the fourth episode of the preseason, and this week we're deciding to start with the positional show. So we're going to start in the midfield this week. And because of that, it's a pretty long show. So we're not going to get to all the social media questions this week, but we've answered all those players that you've asked in the midfield this week. And hopefully we'll be able to get to the other questions throughout the other positional shows. So we'll keep track of those. Just for the rest of the preseason, we're going to go through next week to the forwards, Mark. That's probably the next more straightforward position.
Still very interesting. I want to pick like 10 forwards this year.
Yeah. At least, you know, it's a position where we've got lots of options rather than the back line where we're rather starved of options. Then after that, we're probably going to look to the rucks. And that'll take us to the halfway mark of the NAB Challenge Series. And that's when we'll have a little bit of a review and take a look at the, I think, 12 games that would have been played in the first 2 weeks.
It'll be exciting to talk some footy.
Mm-hmm. The show after that will be the backline show. Then we're going to have a final recap of the entire NAB series together with the rookies in one show. And then the final preseason send-off where we do a recap of the whole preseason. So that's all lined up now. That's the rest of our preseason schedule.
So you do need to listen to all of those if you're going to pick a good team.
It'll help. At the very least, you can pick out the ones you need help with, Mark. So that's sort of the idea.
Big show today. We've got lots of players to talk about.
Mm-hmm. So just one last thing before we get into it. Our social media accounts again at SupercoachCoach on Twitter and Facebook.com/SupercoachCoach. Follow us there. Thank you for all your support so far over the preseason. And again, head to supercoachcoach.com.au, and on the podcast pages itself, there'll be links for our vet applications to join our Supercoach Coach group, to register for a ranked competitive league or some league codes just for open leagues if you want to join those. So get straight into the midfielders now, Mark. I know you're keen to get into it. You've generated a long list of players for us this week. First one, Ablett. Obviously, we'll start off there, the most expensive player. We've already talked about him, and we're both currently in the yes camp.
So nothing's happened since then to change my mind in any way, shape, or form.
Next player, Rockcliffe, we've also mentioned a bit before.
We have. I think that he's not 100% clear. You were leaning towards a no, I think, just because like his high-scoring season was, you think it might be an exceptional thing and not his norm?
My basic thought with Rockcliffe was that you couldn't have both Ablett and Rockcliffe because that's just so much money tied up in two really expensive players. And so you'd want to go one or the other. And I think because Rockcliffe's pretty darn expensive himself, he only saved 30K from not getting Ablett, that you'd always pick Ablett ahead of Rockcliffe. And so you wouldn't probably pick Rockcliffe this year.
I think that a lot of people are going to be picking, say, two or three of Ablett, Pendles, Fife, or Selwood. They're all over the 650 mark. They're all really expensive. Do you think that Rocky is going to average 130 again?
My gut would say no. But again, when it comes to the midfield, and we'll really have this quite a lot throughout this show, a lot of it will come down to personal taste. Like, most of these players that we'll talk about tonight should or probably will hold their average or do a little bit better or a little bit worse. So we'll probably look for the players that we think can make it into the top eight highest scoring players. And Rockcliffe is certainly a contender for that. So he ticks that box 100%, and you can absolutely pick him. And the other sort of player that we're going to look at is players that present, you know, a little bit extra value. But apart from that, a lot of it will come down to personal taste, and it won't ruin your season typically picking one premium midfielder over another, unless they have lots of red flags on them and they have the potential to, you know, really crash in value. Those guys we want to stay away from.
Sure, and I guess Rocky does have a couple of red flags, being that he's only averaged over 115 once. He is so expensive. He plays for the Lions that have recruited a few new midfielders this year. Yeah, there's a bit of uncertainty around there that you might potentially call red flags.
Okay, next player is Scotty Pendlebury, Mr. Reliable. He'll probably fit into most sides as just a permanent vice-captain. You going to slot him into your side again in 2015?
Yeah, second picked midfielder. He seems underpriced at current price leading into this season. Had a down season last year where he was injured for the second half part of the year and didn't quite live up to expectations, but still had a 124 average for the year. So he has some upside on top of 124. I think that Pendles is a pretty obvious pick this year. I know that with Beams and Ball leaving, that will change the structure of the Collingwood midfield, and he might cop a little bit more attention, but he was copping heaps of attention last year and still scoring really, really well. So I think given his efficiency, he's a pretty easy pick.
Joel Selwood, huge potential for kicking goals, it seems nowadays, and scoring big points off that. Do you think he's worth consideration for our teams this year?
I've never really strongly considered him this preseason for some reason. I think that I potentially like Fife a little bit more. He just seems just below that 125, 130 potential average players, because he does seem to have down periods during the season, although he can go on huge runs as well. So he's not in huge consideration for me, and I kind of always expecting Geelong to drop off a little bit eventually. What about yourself?
That's a little bit of a worry this year. We've got a lot of young players, you know, more of the old guys potentially not winning as many games for us, and then Geelong as a whole team not scoring as many points. I think Selwood's still one of the more reliable players. I think of the top 10 averaging midfielders last year, there weren't that many that stayed in the top 10, but Selwood's one of them. Despite his ebbs and flows throughout the season, across the season, he's generally pretty reliable. He's one of those players that we're picking out of that will form the core of the high-scoring players in our team. Fife is another one of those players. How do you reckon he'll go? Loves the Supercoach game with clearances and marks and goals.
They've reduced the amount of points that you will get for influencing a game in the last quarter from the multiplier of 4 down to 2. So Fife seems to have huge last quarters and be a big influence on some games. So it might affect him a little bit. But if you look at the trajectory of his averages, at his fifth season now, average 122, you think there's a really good chance that he would match that or keep going. If he can stay fit, that's probably the biggest question mark over Fife. Can he avoid suspension and can he stay fit? The answer to that is probably unlikely, and that's definitely the biggest question mark over Fife, I think. His scoring potential and ability to influence a game is huge, and also just the fact that it's fun to barrack for him as well. He's definitely one of my favourites and has been in my team all preseason so far.
Again, one of these no-fail picks, and just red hot on him last year. Just couldn't talk more highly of him and loved watching him in my team. Beams is the next guy we're going to talk about, and we've talked about him before, Mark. Playing for Brisbane now, what do you reckon?
I've probably warmed to Beams a little bit more over the preseason since even we last spoke a few weeks ago about him. I think he definitely has the potential to match that top bracket of guys that we've just spoken about. Given the uncertainty around how he'll go in his new club, I think that probably means that I won't be picking him to start and see how he goes at the beginning of the season. But I think he could match that top bracket of players.
And a player on an upward trajectory, Rory Sloane, ended up averaging in the top 8 for the year last year in the midfield. So, you know, really kudos to him. You reckon he can maintain that this year?
I don't know. I've never had Sloane in my side. He was really, really consistent last year without going too big. I guess that being so young, he probably does have another level to his game and could step it up a little bit more. It'll be interesting to see how he goes under the new coach and exactly what role he's used in. So already having Danger locked in, I think that it'd be very unlikely that I take Sloane as well. But I can understand why someone might pick him.
Sloane played 22 games last year, and that's actually pretty rare to find in the top 10 averaging midfielders, so that's definitely something to consider. Seems to be able to get onto the park, which is a pretty great thing. Now, Josh Kennedy from Sydney, 114, didn't quite score as well as we'd hoped he would, but still, top 8 averaging midfielder by the end of the year.
I think that it's really hard to tell with that Sydney midfield. I think that they're so deep that potentially in a lesser side, Kennedy might have a higher ceiling of closer to 130, but probably going to struggle to ever beat his 119 average, I think, just because they bat so deep in the Sydney midfield.
Agree there.
Is he in your cover collection?
Not really. I think he's one of those players that could potentially drop off at some point in the season, and you know, I'll look to hopefully snap him up there, but seems reasonably safe to get close to being in the top 8 midfielders again. So from that perspective, wouldn't turn him down. Steel Sidebottom, the next guy. Beams has left. Does that open up even more scoring for Steel Sidebottom, who, you know, like Sloane, upward trajectory? Can he keep going?
Had a huge finish to the end of last season. If he doesn't get attention, he's a huge player for Collingwood, and I remember watching him in the Essendon game just rack up heaps of touches out of the back line. I think scored pretty big that day. So yeah, I think that he actually does have potential to step up without Beams there and become a 115, 120 regular averaging midfielder. He's always had that sort of potential, and his role is going to be bigger at Collingwood this year. So yeah, I think that he absolutely does have the potential to become a premier midfielder this year. But I mean, he's a pretty risky pick. He probably has a bit more downside than some of the other premier midfielders, potentially a bit more upside as well. With Collingwood potentially not doing as well as they may have in the past, I don't have too much faith in picking too many of their players, and I'm already going to have Pendles and Swan.
Callum Ward for GWS, 113 average. Griffin coming in this year. Some people are saying that he'll actually steal the tag from Ward, so that could free him up for, you know, more points. What do you think about that?
That would be amazing for Ward, because the games that he did struggle last year was when he did cop the tag and get some attention. He also probably struggled a little bit with injury a couple of times last year. I think in round 5, he scored 92 against Adelaide and only played half the game because he went off injured. Really consistent, pumped out some big scores, just ended the season, the last two games, a little bit slow. I don't know, he seems really, really risky given the amount of other Giants coming through the system that might take some points off him. But he was awesome to watch last year and was really surprising about how well he scored. And I think that he could definitely do it again.
Next player, Liberatore from Western Bulldogs, 111. And when he's a clearance machine and scoring those big points, he can potentially be a player that averages 120. And, you know, he still is a young player, still has that potential to improve. But we have seen him maybe stagnate a little bit. Not that, you know, he's not still pumping out great results. 110 is nothing to sneeze at. But, you know, we were potentially thinking of him as maybe stepping up into the top 8 averaging midfielders. Do you think he has the potential to do that this year?
No, I'm really clear no against Libba. I had him on my side for a while last year, and what I noticed was when Griffin wasn't there, Liberatore really struggled. He would go quarters without even touching the ball, and I think that with Griffin gone now, his ceiling is potentially limited because he will definitely be getting the first tag at the Doggies. Yeah, you'll probably see some big games from him where he does get off the leash, but he's a no for me this year.
Move on to the next player, Jordan Lewis for Hawthorn, 109 last year, 21 games. Career best Supercoach average, so would be hard to replicate that potential red flag there.
He has had 10 seasons and never had averaged over 100 before. Went up to 109 last year. I think the reason why people might be potentially considering him was the way he came home from round 18. 116, 123, 165, 145, 110, 154, 87, 105, and 134 in the grand final. So a whole bunch of really big scores in there, and did seem to become Hawthorn's number one midfielder last year. A role that, I guess, with Hodgie and Burgoyne getting a little bit older, that and Mitchell as well, that they were looking for someone to step up, and Jordan Lewis seemed to really do that in the second half of last year. So it wouldn't surprise me if he actually became an elite averaging mid this year with the 115 variety. But given the fact that he's had 10 seasons and has never done it before, it's a pretty risky option.
I can see the potential upside you're describing now that you've laid out that situation. I mean, Hawthorn, you would think, would do it well again, and somebody needs to get those midfield points. So, riskier option, but potential upside there. Next player is Luke Parker, and we actually got a question from Speculator on Twitter about him. He reckons Luke Parker may become the next ultra premium midfielder. Reminds him a lot of Joel Selwood. Do you think Parker can step it up to that level of scoring?
In some ways, Parker's better than Selwood was at the age. He's a better goal kicker than Selwood was at that age. No, I wouldn't say that he's actually a better player, though. I think that, again, a little bit like Kennedy, that his ceiling is a little bit limited by the fact that he's got Hannabury and Jack and McVeigh and others around him, and that the midfield time will be split a bit, and Buddy in the team, they've got plenty of high scorers in that team. So yeah, that probably worries me a little bit with regards to his ceiling. He's probably a solid pick, and you'd expect him to improve a few points on his average. What about you, mate?
I'm always pretty scared off those players that have peaked in the last year, because, you know, they're at a high in their price. He is a young player, and, you know, it does make sense for him to keep improving. But again, at Sydney, they share the points around a lot as well. So I think I will look elsewhere, but again, personal preference, and he should at least maintain his average, you would think. I like him a little bit better than Jordan Lewis, at least. Like, age is on his side in that regard. Next player, Job Watson, 107 averager. We've already seen capable of easily doing more. So value already. Obviously, Essendon, a little bit of a cloud at the moment, not being able to play the NAB series.
It's a very
dark
cloud.
Yeah, hopefully that clears. And we're assuming by the time we hit the season, we know that they're either going to play for the rest of the season, or we know they're going to sit out for some period, or if they do sit out. So we can probably look at Essendon players normally. So how do you think he'll go? He still is an injury risk. Has gotten hamstrings and that in the past.
Yeah, he's only played 22 games once in his career. Did have a few seasons of 21. one. So yeah, the injury and the fact that there's other people around him that have just as much upside as he does probably makes it very difficult to pick him. If he can stay fit, he could easily average 120, but once he's hit 30 already, only averaged sort of over 115 once in his career, I think that there's probably better options out there, even though he could do quite well.
Well, I mean, if you're hearing that from an Essendon supporter, guys, I think we're moving on then to another Essendon player right at that price point. I'm only $3,000 cheaper. Dyson Heppel. And now Mark's clearing his throat there because he's getting ready to really pump this guy up for a huge 2015 and a Brownlow medal. So I'll let him have it.
He can't split the Brownlow with Cooney. Yeah, look, Heppel's my favourite player in the AFL, so it's pretty hard to talk about him. I probably wouldn't pick him for Supercoach almost just from that perspective because although I like picking players that I like, if you pick your favourite players and they do poorly, then that can sort of affect your opinion of them.
That's hilarious. You like Dyson Heppel too much to pick him in your Supercoach side. That's hilarious.
I don't want to be yelling at him and yelling at the TV and telling him to bloody do better and stuff and being too worried about him. So, look, I mean, four seasons into his career, averaged 106 last year. When he was tagged or had attention, he'd have really big quarters that had boosted his score up last year. He was awesome. Really got there when the game was on the line over and over and over when Joe wasn't there. You would expect him to improve. You'd expect his average to build. He has been in my side at different times in the preseason.
One of those players like Treloar, like Libber. Basically, you're picking one of those that you like, young player that you think can improve. And maybe, you know, where you see each club in terms of a top eight position probably can dictate things a little bit because does affect scoring over time. But Heppel, certainly a front runner. Next player, Bryce Gibbs, a young player that maybe stalled
probably
a little
bit. Probably the opposite of that. The opposite of the Heppel, like, living up to his potential so quickly.
Averaged 0.2 points less than Heppel last year. But he did step up toward the end of the year and really establish himself as a leader as the season wore on. And, you know, we're talking about him before Mark Murphy because, for once, Gibbs is priced ahead of Mark Murphy. So he did perform better last year and played two more games last year too. Do you think that he can finally make the step up? I mean, he does have the talent.
Probably the short answer is no. He's just been in the system so long. I think that he can have huge influences on games, but then can get tagged out of other games. He had probably three or four games last year where the tag really reduced his scoring potential in those games. And given the fact that he was playing better footy last year, means that he probably will get tagged more often. Look, he's got all the potential in the world, but just hasn't really lived up to it, especially from a Supercoach perspective. And I wouldn't give one of my midfield spots away to Bryce Gibbs.
I think that if I were picking somebody in his price range, I'd rather pick a young player that, you know, I'm hoping will break out, because if they do, I'm going to enjoy the ride a little bit more. And I also feel like the upside potentially is a little bit more because they're younger. So yeah, agree with you there. Mark Murphy, his captain, what do you reckon about him? He's a guy that we've seen can average more than that. So one of those fallen value premium that they can step it up. What do you reckon? He used to be a player that you used to lock into your team at the start of the preseason at one point, I think.
Yeah, I think in his sixth season he got up to 118 average, and I kind of expected him to keep going, but he hasn't been able to hit those heights since. I think that he does have another 120 average season in him at some point, and that means that he presents a whole bunch of value at his price. Had him last year and it was quite difficult to have him in my team last year. He had good patches but didn't really live up to my expectations, so probably just meant that I'll look out somewhere else this year and barrack for a different player.
Dion Prestia, Mark, 106, 570,000. One of those young guns that could potentially break out, or would you rate him behind all the other young guns that we've already talked about today?
No, I wouldn't. When Ablett was in the team last year, Prestia was an absolute gun and he was scoring really, really well and would have ended up with a higher average. So from that perspective, he probably does present a little bit of value. It'll be interesting to see what role he plays this year with Swallow and Bennell and Ablett and himself sort of forming that core midfield. Yeah, I think that he presents a little bit of value. It'd be interesting to see what his ceiling is.
You'd think that if Gold Coast become a top eight team, if they continue to win games, that, you know, Prestia, you know, has value left. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes this year. Next player, Toby Green, again, another development side. Came back from quite a rocky start, didn't he, Mark? But then pumped out just a supreme finish at the end of the year and a bit unexpected. 103 was his final average. 553 he's starting at, and certainly has that upside that we're looking for.
I think that it's worth repeating his last few scores of the year. He came back round 16, played one game, scored 63, then scored 132, 107, 117, 161, 95, 141, and 131. Now, I know Callum Ward didn't play in those last two games, so that might have given him a bit more midfield time, but he had beast numbers as a junior. He definitely has the potential, if he was given a lot of time in the middle for the GWS, that he would score really, really high. And there's going to be much more dangerous players like Treloar and Griffin and Ward that are going to be given those tags ahead of him. So he should be have a bit of free roaming, and probably is a little bit like Dion Prestia in that he gets to just rack up a heap of ball while the more dangerous midfield's got the attention. So very risky player, but has a decent ceiling and presents a bunch of value at his price.
You'd think that if they're starting to contend next year and starting to actually compete, he can easily push up to 110 as long as everything goes in check. So I agree with your assessment there, Mark. Next guy is a player that we've actually talked about quite a bit. We've locked him into our sides, but we have a follow-up question from Jake Cartwright from Twitter, and he's asking to pinpoint why exactly we think Danger had a bad year last year and why we think it's actually going to change.
You can go, man.
Yeah, okay. I think that may not necessarily be relevant. I don't think he can go any lower. I think even when the pressure's immense and the team's really reliant on him and Adelaide don't have a super year, he can still average 106, and he played 22 games, like really battered, but he made it. And we know he has the upside. We've already seen him average better. If Adelaide are a top four team, you'd know Dangerfield's going to be knocking the scoring out of the park. And Adelaide aren't there, but we know Dangerfield has that upside, and for that reason...
Adelaide are a top four team.
No, no, I'm saying they're not a top four team, but Dangerfield still has that sort of upside, depending on how Adelaide do and how the team performs around him. But at the very least, I don't see him averaging below what he's priced at now, and so the only way is up with him.
Slow starts to the season are probably a big downside on him that he has had the last few years. I think the first few rounds he struggled a little bit, but he seems like the sort of player that could average 150 over the first 6 weeks, and Adelaide's draw for the bye is pretty awesome.
Next player, Kieran Jack.
No. I had him last year. 110 ceiling. Too many other players in the Sydney midfield.
You're really not liking this competitive Sydney midfield, Mark. It does appear that way.
I have knocked out a few players. Yeah, I mean, out of the group, I think potentially Hanbury interests me more just because he did get a bit injured last year and struggled for a little while.
Trent Cochin, another captain on the run sheet. Again, another former, you know, love child of yours almost. And again,
yeah, I do seem to have a few love childs.
Yeah, like Murphy, though, he has tapered off a little bit. But, you know, surely at 102, like, he can improve on that, like, pretty easily, right?
In his third year, he averaged about 80, fourth year, 100, fifth year, 116. That's the trajectory of someone that could go up to an elite premium midfield average. And then he's gone 106 and 101, and he's only missed one game in 4 years. He's probably played injured a bit. He probably struggles copying the number one tag every week. Also struggles with his disposal to really go to that next level. But I mean, he's averaged 116 with a pretty average disposal. So yeah, I don't know what's going on with Trent. He is one of my former love childs, and given the amount of value that he presents, he's on my consideration list this year, whereas I know he's not on a lot of other people's.
It's back on,
but,
Mark.
Yeah, he's been disappointing the last 2 years.
Yeah, until I see Richmond start to kill it, and like I actually want to see it in games and consistently across the season, and I'll trade him in if need be, but I'm not going to risk the heartbreak. Because imagine picking him, paying that money, and then watching him average 100 each week and having to decide if you have to waste a trade on him. Over that feeling, Ollie Wines. He's been pumped up pretty big time in the media. 100 average last year, playing 22 games, and this kid, sky's the limit almost, and I can understand why people are pumping him up. But in terms of Supercoach scoring, do you think he can continue that trajectory, or, you know, will the tags start coming? Because developing as a player and developing as a Supercoach scorer is sometimes a different thing. But Port, again, should get quite a lot of points in their midfield this year. They should win a fair few games.
All true facts, mate. I probably don't think he'll cop that much attention because there are a few players in that Port midfield that are a bit more outside, a bit more dangerous, or rated as such. So that should help his cause a little bit. There's quite a few other people that are picking him as their breakout for this year, so I'll just leave them to do that and they can enjoy the ride. It doesn't interest me that much. I think that there's other players out there, maybe like a Treloar, that interests me a bit more.
There's some players that you can latch on from the start of the career, and they keep taking you up that beautiful ride, up that supercoach ladder. Players like Joel Selwood, you know, every year they play, they just keep improving. And, you know, Wines overcame the second year Blues, and I do wonder whether he can continue to step it up.
Yeah, I don't write off his quality. I can understand why people are picking him, but I find it very unlikely that I would start with him.
Ryan Griffin, next mark, moving to GWS, and we've seen huge, huge ceiling. I mean, started off as maybe even the most or second most expensive player 1 year, and now 99, his average at. Surely he can improve off that.
Well, yeah, I guess he presents some value, but apparently there's still talk that he had some sort of back issues that he carried through last year and really struggled with them last year. He's played 10 seasons and has one average over 110. That's not the sort of player that I'd be looking forward to bring into my Supercoach team. I think a little bit like Gibbs, that probably has the potential for some big games and even for some big runs at different times. But over the course of his career, it doesn't really indicate a premium Supercoach player to me.
Wow, I guess your assessment of him is a bit different from mine then. I have a little bit more hope for him. Can understand people picking him. Yeah, I do think it's a little bit risky selecting him, but I know Faz will be right on him. He used to be on the show and is an occasional guest, and I wouldn't say that that's a bad pick if I saw it in his team. So, different assessment to you there, Mark. I've
never been much of a fan of Ryan Griffin, mate. I know he had that one good patch in 2013, but it wasn't even a whole year. It was just a patch.
Next guy, Brad Crouch. From Adelaide, 508,000, averaging 95, and you put him on this, Mark. So, see big potential in Crouch?
I think a lot of people do. I think that probably has as much potential as Ollie Wines to score well this year. He's just an absolute ball magnet. I know he struggled a bit with injury last year, and that would have definitely affected his average. He had a bunch of scores over 100, and I could see him with sort of a lot of attention going towards Sloan and Dangerfield starting to produce premium numbers. I think that within the next year or two, he'll be averaging 110-ish. So this could be the year as soon as his third year. It'd be very, very risky to pick him. Definitely a breakout sort of a pick, but I think he's presents a fair bit of value at his current price.
High risk, high reward, I guess, in that regard. I probably would put him in the Wines camp, but I probably don't like that sort of risk level that much, and I tend to go for a safer cookie-cutter team and look more for avenues in trades, because I feel like I'd rather not start off with a team that has big negatives in it. A player that can only go from 95 to 100 would probably be a negative, because that's quite a lot of money, 500k tied up there. But
yeah, you know, I think the biggest risk is that he improves and only averages 105, and you sort of get stuck with a non-top 8 mid.
Yeah, but again, personal preference. Like, I can't dispute anyone picking any of these players, and if you really like them, you like their potential. Absolutely, I can see any of these players improving this year. Would you prefer to go up one rank to the older guys like Treloar, Prestia? Do you prefer that rank of potential breakouts, or do you prefer this level of Crouch, Wines, that price level for a breakout premium?
Pretty good question, I think. I prefer the higher level because you're more likely to get a top 8 mid. I think trying to hope for a top 8 mid out of Wines, Amira and Crouch is probably a pretty big ask. They might jump up in their average, they might get close to 110, and which means that they present value at their price, but they're not getting you a top 8 mid, which is sort of restricting the scoring potential of your team.
And last guy above 500,000 mark, Andrew Swallow. We have talked about him in the past, averaged 93 last year, 15 games, coming back, of course, from a pretty devastating injury. But this year, getting a good run into the season in North Melbourne, hopefully getting a double shot in the finals this year. Swallow could potentially be a 115 averaging player. And, you know, we have seen him be able to do that in patches. We know he's at least capable of 110. So there's pretty good value in his price point, right? Right now.
I think I'm one of the only people that I know that is not interested at all.
Wow. All right. Lay down this controversial opinion, Mark.
He is another one of those players that's been in the system 9 or 10 years and has only averaged over 110 once in his career. That was 4 years ago. Does have three averages sort of around that mark. That seems like his ceiling from what we've seen. I mean, we have seen a fair chunk of his footy, and that's as much as he's been able to average in the past. And I think with North Melbourne's midfield becoming deeper, I don't see any reason why he would therefore have access to more points than he has previously.
Okay, I've picked Swallow in the past, so maybe I see it a little bit differently. I think he can average 110, and, you know, if North top four team, I think that they win more often, he gets more points. He's limited in what he can do in the fact that he will never be a 125 averaging midfielder, but we've seen his clearances, his tackle count, his disposal rate. He sometimes has huge games. I mean, I think we've seen him get like 15 plus disposals in one quarter in one ridiculous game. So, you know, he has that potential. And I think, therefore, based on his current price and that potential, if you got somebody who could average 110, 115, who's priced at 93, lock that in. If he's only going to average 105, it becomes a little bit edgy because you might could think about another trade needing to be spent in order to not cap your max scoring potential. Yeah, I think at his price point, happy to pick him. Two sides of a coin.
Most people agree with you, so I'm probably wrong.
We'll see how it pans out. Under 500k now. First guy we're going to go to, we got a question from Facebook. Thank you to Alistair Campbell. He's asking about Steven from St Kilda. So do you think he can step it up, Mark?
Yeah, I think that he's an interesting one. He averaged 109 2 years ago and then struggled a lot more last year, but that was mainly because he was injured for most of the year. He wasn't fully fit last year, so a fully fit Jack Steven is a very different beast, and I think that he is probably a 110, 115 averaging player. My biggest concern with Steven is probably the fact that he's going to cop a lot more tags now than he ever used to, and he is also playing for a team that is likely to finish bottom two. So I think that probably limits his scoring enough to make him very, very unlikely to make the top eight mids, and therefore, even at 460, a bit tricky to pick. I can understand people picking him because he does seem to show that he's got the upside. He is St Kilda's number one midfielder when he's fit, so I can see why people would be interested at the price. Those couple of factors just too limiting for me.
All I'm going to add is I think that's a bit of the curse of the midfield. At his price point, I think you look at him and then you look at a player that averages 10 more, Crouch, Wines, and you go, well, you would rather pay a little bit and go for their potential instead. And then, like you said, Mark, probably then look at 10 points up at Treloar and say, well, maybe I prefer them because they're more likely to hit elite premium status. And then some people even get to Treloar, and I'm one of those guys, and go, well, maybe I can just go straight for Selwood and I know I'm going to get elite scoring points because that's the most important part of the ground. And that's why we always have, you know, ultra guns and rookies in the midfield, and it makes a guy like Steven really hard to pick. They have to be really attractive at this price point, and I think you raised enough concerns there.
So you only listened to the first 5 minutes of this show, mate. You're just picking the four most expensive ones.
A little bit. Apart from, like I said, the value guys. My eyes do light up when I see a player like Swallow. And the guys that have potential to jump up, you know, those young guys do attract me as well. And I will be tracking their preseason. So, you know, it's good that...
Did you just say you're attracted to young guys?
Fuck. Thanks. Helpful. Next guy we're going to talk about, Mark Caddy from Geelong. Now, I'll enjoy talking about this young guy, Mark. 415,000, 77 was his average last year. So I guess you put him on the run sheet, Mark, because we talked about him last year stepping out, and we saw him in the finals last year really break out and take more ownership and actually establish himself in the final series. So moving forward, I definitely see that potential. Tricky price point. So you'll want to see, you know, a really, really strong preseason that clearly indicates he's ready for a breakout season. If I don't see that, I'm probably not interested at all. Where do you sit on him, Mark?
I think if he was available as a forward, people would be a lot more interested.
Yep.
Does have a bunch of hundreds in the back end of last year where he started to show his potential. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him average at least 100 this year, which, except for the fact that it requires you to use a trade to upgrade him after that, would be a decent return on his price.
Next guy, Mark, we've already talked about him. Daniel Wells, 75. I pumped him up big time. You like him too, and you're hesitant because at his price point, you don't like paying that sort of price for a midfielder, but I guess that means he's square on our watch list, Mark. Right up there in terms of a guy we want to do well in the preseason and lock into our teams.
Yeah, I have him ahead of Swallow in the likelihood of entering my team.
Next guy, Rich, also talked about him. Again, we're pretty picky with our midfield mid prices, and we covered him pretty recently, so he's a wait and see as well.
Very much leaning towards no. At the end of last year, I thought that Daniel Rich would be a yes, because he'd had a whole year out and he had the potential to be a premium mid, but then now that we're actually looking at the teams and their prices, it's not quite working out as I thought it might.
And I think Wells being at the exact same price, being a guy who's done it and done a little bit better in terms of Supercoach scoring, also makes it harder on Rich. And So that takes us to the end of the midfield show. That was pretty long, Mark. We covered a lot of players.
Yeah, I think so. A theme that seemed to be there throughout the show was that we seem to be tending trending towards the people that we feel might end up as top eight mids. So we're really looking for that elite talent in the midfield. As much as we'd like to be AFL recruiters and do some talent identification and pick out the one breakout player that other people aren't getting on, generally we're leaning towards slightly less risky players that we really think have potential to average in the 115 to 120 mark, rather than looking at like an out player averaging 100 that might jump up to 110.
Yeah, my only caveat to that is, of the top eight midfielders each year, you'd be surprised that people move in and out, and especially in the bottom end of the top eight, like the top end of the top eight, they're clearer ins. Like your Fife, your Selwood, your Pendlebury, your Ablett, they're always there. The next few, they do fluctuate year to year, and it changes up a lot. I think there are only three midfielders that stayed in the top eight midfielders last year, if I'm correct. And so if you look at the bottom end of the top eight, somebody like Kennedy, he averaged 114. Now you scroll down, all the way down to the 14th highest averaging midfielder is Libertore. He averaged 110. So the difference between 110 and 114 isn't all that great. So if you're looking for value,
about 100 points over the course of the year.
But if you're looking in terms of value, if you're looking for a player to step it up, you don't necessarily need him to average 115, because 115 is sort of the clear into a top eight. If they can average 110 and maybe move up 20 points of value, and you don't have to spend a trade on them, and they function as your M8, your last midfielder averaging 110 points, you only really give off, like Mark said, 100 points over 22 games, which isn't massive. I mean, that's two rookie decisions. If you can get that much value out of a player, it is worth consideration. So I don't think that you necessarily have to look for a player that averages 115. 110 is perfectly fine, and therefore Swallow, I think, looks, you know, more attractive, because I'd be fine with him at M8.
I was just going to ask, are we talking about Andrew Swallow or general midfield discussion?
Well, I mean, look, if Crouch can average 110 is what I'm getting at as well, that's not really that terrible. Like, even though 115 would be a lot better and make him a clear in for the top eight, even if he averages 110 and ends up the 13th, 14th averaging midfielder, you've only given up 100 points for the season. And look, most of us don't get to the full max potential anyway. And you've got a guy who went from 95 to 110. That's not too bad. Would you agree with that?
Okay, yeah.
So that wraps up this week's show, Mark.
Hopefully we were some help to our listeners, mate.
Hit us up on social media at supercoachcoach and facebook.com/supercoachcoach if you've got any questions. And, you know, we'll get to follow-up questions next week. So, you know, if you've got any follow-up questions, please chuck them on there. Remember the rest of our preseason schedule. We're going with the forwards next week, the rucks the week after that, a review midway for the NAB Cup, finally the back line, final review of the entire NAB series, and then a recap show to round up the season. And again, on supercoachcoach.com.au, our vet application, the Supercoach Coach group, our open leagues and ranked leagues, all the details can be found there. Thank you for a great show, Mark.
Yeah, thank you, mate. I'll see you next week. What are we doing forwards? That sounds pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. And that'll be the last show, I think, until we get some footy. That will be
I'm
exciting.
Honestly not that excited for the return of footy with all this shit going on with us.
All right.
Mate, we're not even fielding our full list. It's not. Okay. I'm not that.
Okay, well, look, at least you got Supercoach, right? There's things to look out for. You've got a watch list. You've got things to keep you busy. Take your mind off
yeah,
this.
The Cricket World Cup.
Enjoy that then, mate. I'll talk to you next week. See you guys.
Yeah.